What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comic books that have come out this very day, Wednesday. We got a pack stack.
It's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. We got a pack of a stack. So let's jump right into it. This is a big launch. Avengers number one from Marvel Comics.
Have you heard of these Avengers guys?
Man, they're finally bringing together some of the biggest heroes in the Marvel Universe.
What an idea.
Why didn't they think of this? They've had all these solo titles. Finally, a group title. But seriously, folks, this is from Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness. The big news here is that it is bringing back together the big three, Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man. But it's weaving in stuff from Jason Aaron's Marvel Legacy book. You got Ed McGuinness, as we mentioned. So you know there's going to be big visuals. Yep. And the idea of the book is a bunch of Avengers brought together by circumstances beyond their control, in this case, the last celestial host. The other thing that you probably need to know going into this, if you didn't pick up Marvel Legacy, is there is an Avengers from 1 million BC that Jason Aaron invented, which is basically like Caveman Hulk and Ghost Rider Rides Mammoth and stuff like this. You seem to be very pleased, Pete.
Well, I just think this is a fun book. It comes off as a just fun idea, you know, getting everybody together. I mean, I laugh at the idea of Caveman Avengers. I think that's a little ridiculous. I don't know really why we need to do that, but it's there. I love Ed McGuinness's art. It kind of gives what's happening a lighter tone, which is fun in comic books. And yeah. I thought it had a fantastic big ending page. I felt like this was a great kind of like big group comic, a big kind of setting things up for a big event. And I thought it was a fantastic first issue. I'm completely on board.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this issue. I agree with you that I'm on board. It's a lot of fun. The art is wonderful. Jason Aaron throws in fantastic ideas there and great character moments. It feels a little bit like Jason Aaron doing Jonathan Hickman, kind of, because there's so many ideas going on at the same time.
No, sir. No. I completely disagree.
That's true. There are no circles and nobody is in black and white, so it's probably not Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman tries to do very complicated things, and I feel like
I will say this is something that I feel like is playing for the trade a little bit. Like, enormous things happen in this issue, but at the same time, it's just the very cusp of the story. So, I don't know. I'm excited. Of course, I'm on board. It's Jason Aaron. He's taken us on wonderful rides with so many titles. He's a good writer. He's going to do big things. Let's move on to another bunch of good writers with DC Nation number zero.
Now, this is. You asshole.
What?
You made me read a zero issue.
Well, the zero issue, so this is an introduction to a bunch of big storylines that are going to be playing out through the DC Universe over, well, the next couple of weeks, if not months at least. You got the Joker finally reacting to Batman and Catwoman's wedding. You got a preview of No Justice by Scott Snyder, which is the reboot of Justice League. And you've got a third thing that I'm blanking on. Oh, Superman? Oh, right. Brian Michael Bendis on Superman. So let's talk about this. I know you're not the biggest fan of a bunch of different stories, Pete.
Right, but I am. I'm not a big fan of Zero Issue. I'm also not a big fan of a bunch of different stories. But combining those two things, I think,
really
does a good job, because I think Zero Issues are such a kind of like superfluous kind
of thing.
You
just made a jerk off motion. They can't actually see that on a podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's my, when I'm going to say superfluous, you know, that's, I make a jerk off motion because it's kind of the same
thing.
Like,
it's like a highbrow, lowbrow type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I just feel like.
Also, talking to the microphone.
I feel like before. a bigger event or something that you're trying to get across, a zero issue is dumb. You know, why do it? But with this, it's three kind of mini stories where I felt like, okay, I didn't feel like it was completely waste of time. I really enjoyed the Tom King stuff. That is kind of the Joker we've been wanting to see, and I thought that was perfectly done.
Yeah, I really like the Joker story a lot. It's horrifying to read. Basically, Joker goes to a random guy's house and says, well, I'm waiting for the invitation to Batman and Catwoman's wedding, and the entire time the guy is begging him and saying,
just freaking out,
just either kill me or do whatever you're going to do, because there's no way this invitation is going to come here. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's great what happens to the story. The Justice League story was very interesting to me, reading it on the heels feel of the Avengers story, because it's a very similar thing where enormous celestial bodies that are overwhelming are attacking the DC universe. You get a bunch of really fun team lineups that I don't know how much we're going to see these going forward, but it's villains paired with heroes.
Plus,
having to
the great Batman line of like, and it's like, where's the Justice League? He's like, which one? And yeah, then just cuts to it's all great. These Justice Leagues. It,
again,
that was so
tons
cool.
of fun. My only hesitation with the issue is the Superbad story. And I was hoping
you weren't going to bring it up.
Well, I've felt a little like you, Pete. And here's the thing. I'm willing to see Brian Michael Bendis out because he's a great writer. Clearly,
fantastic.
He wants to do, he has a vision for what he wants to do with Superman. But there's definitely a tease that something is wrong with Lois Lane and Clark Kent, and it made me furious.
Yeah.
That's all. How did you feel, Pete?
Because it's this thing, I'm like, fuck you, Zero Issue. I'm not going to get upset because you're a Zero Issue, and I'm not going to give you my full attention. I just ignored it because I don't want to actually feel it, and I don't want to actually think about it.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. It's definitely a tease, so there might be a swerve there in terms of what's going on with him. We get a tease that Lois Lane is maybe working on a book, but Clark Kent is really upset about something.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if he's pulling the same shit that he pulled with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage over the Jessica Jones title, which, mind you, again, a good story from a
great
writer.
Great story, yep.
But very frustrating.
Also, I don't like the introduction of the new character.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't like her.
Mm.
I think she's...
Because she's a woman, Pete?
No.
Is that your problem? You have a problem with strong, powerful...
No, because she wants to take down an institution that we love.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take down the Daily Planet, you guys.
Yep.
All right, but definitely do pick up this issue. Let's move on to another prelude. Harbinger Wars 2 prelude number 1 from Valiant Comics. This is the kickoff for the big event that they have been teasing for, I swear to God, it's like 2 to 3 years at this point. Harbinger Wars 2. Now, we don't check in with Valiant Comics a whole lot. Nope. So
we read them, but we don't talk about them on the show.
They're so good.
Yeah.
This is, I would say, a must pickup. Like, it is almost the opposite of a Zero
Issue. I ate this up. It was so great.
Now, this is from the team who is doing Secret Weapons, which is one of the best books on the stands right now, also from Valiant Comics. It deals with a bunch of those characters, which if you haven't paid attention to the Valiant universe, they have people called Psyots, which are kind of like mutants, essentially. It's their version of mutants. Psyots have been hunted before. They're being hunted again. Some bad stuff has happened to the Valiant universe. You don't need to know a lot of that, but this focuses on the characters from Secret Weapons who basically have the garbage powers and have to figure out how to use their garbage powers. Like, there's a guy who turns...
appreciate you saying that they have garbage powers.
No, but that's
powers.
What's so awesome about the series is it's a guy who turns into a statue. But it isn't, he's like, I'm a super strong stone man. It's he turns into a statue and then can't move.
Yeah.
And
that's what
so
statues
they
do.
Have to deal with a government agency who's trying to take them out. This issue, it causes some bad shit to go down. This is a gorgeous issue, a great introduction.
It is so artistic. I can't agree with you more. It was so artistically done. The paneling is just so creative, and the storytelling just really flows. It feels so great. This is such a good issue of a comic book.
And honestly, I went in expecting it to be like, here's a recap of the Valiant universe over the past year. It's not that at all. It throws you right into the story.
You kind of get what's happening right away. And
so good.
Yes, I can't recommend enough. It was really fantastic.
Excellent. Let's go to another debut from Image Comics, Death and Glory, number 1. Now, this is by one of our faves on the show, Rick Remender. Mm-hmm. This is a new title from him. Basically, this is a crime thriller where there's still some weird Rick Remender things that go on. But for the most part, it's about a girl named Glory who wants to pull off one big score. And as you can imagine, it goes horribly wrong and spirals out of control.
It's so fucked up and so Remender. Like, you think, all right, I think we're okay. And nope. It's just, it plays with your emotions the whole time. It's kind of aggravating. I kept wanting to like this comic more than I was because I kept getting kicked in the nuts with it.
One thing that I think we know about Rick Remender first issue is they're often very different from the rest of the run.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like he's doing here. He sets up this very typical over-the-top crime thriller, and then we get a swerve at the end that takes it in crazy new directions.
Yeah.
personally, I'm excited to see him working in a more normal world, but also knowing his comicography, his bibliography, if you will, I'm curious to see how long he can hold on to that before it becomes like, and now we're inside the Earth and we're protecting time from the demon.
Well, it's almost like he's fighting himself a little bit. He's like, fine, if I have to deal with like normal people, then I'm just going to put him through the ringer even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let's do a crime thriller, but also there's a guy who freezes people's limbs. Just real quick. This book also is completely gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
Beautiful art in the book. Definitely pick this up.
Actually, the expressions on the main character are just unbelievable. It really kind of pulls you in. But it makes it so much more painful and so much more intense, because on the different panels, they zoom in on the face it's really, the art is the best part of this
thing. The way that they draw Gloria, the main character, is like if the We Could Do It poster came to life and committed a bunch of crimes.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way of putting it. Yeah. Let's move to another Rick Remender book, also coming out from Image this week, Black Science, number 35. Speaking of books that have spiraled out of control, this is one of the rare books that I read every month, and I still have to read the recap page.
Yep.
Because there is so much going on. Interestingly, this was kind of a one-and-done issue, though.
Yeah.
With some more fucked-up shit that happens.
Just so fucked up. It's kind of an impossible situation, you know, where it's just like, hey, you're fucked either way. You know, like, there's all these different timelines and all these different things, but this is the only timeline that exists, and it's so intense and such a thing that we've seen before, which is impressive for the writing, but it's kind of, you feel so much for this couple.
If you haven't picked it up, there's a guy named Grant McKay, and he developed a way to jump between alternate realities that has attracted some horrible attention. He has found out that there is an infinite number of hymns out there that also are slowly destroying pockets of the universe. In this issue, he and his wife basically go through couples therapy. Yeah. There's a couple of twists in there that we won't ruin, but this issue I thought was great. Like, there's been over the top superhero style battle sequences and nonstop danger for so long.
The comic.
Did you?
Yeah, because I was just like, don't drop it, don't. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you read it, you'll know what Pete's talking about. But if you're a fan of the book, there's a nice little break with some setup for some more danger.
Yeah.
Let's move to another DC Comics Action Comics Special number one. Now, we are in the middle of a year-long celebration of all things Superman, except, of course, in the movie theaters. But this issue is focusing on Lex Luthor. It's the last will and testament of Lex Luthor. What did you think of this one, Pete?
I mean, this is kind of a classic Superman story, you know, where but the twist is kind of Lex is the hero and the villain a little bit. And I don't know. I thought it was great. I mean, this is a great Superman story. I thought this was like really felt like a kind of revisiting of something that we very much love. And I'm excited to see where Superman's going to go from here. But I felt like this was a great kind of stabilization point for the comic to just be like, all right, these are the main characters. This is what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, this is a way of recentering Lex Luthor, I think, because he's been through so many different iterations in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I actually like this a little better than Action Comics 1000, which we talked about. We felt, I think, a little mixed on some of the stories we like, some of the stories we didn't.
Yep.
But this one, it's great to see a Lex Luthor focused issue. It feels like good classic Lex Luthor. And again, we keep saying this, but a lot of fun.
I thought it was pretty cold what Superman did at the end.
Well, let's not spoil it.
Okay.
But noted.
All right.
I guess he uses his freeze breath, you guys.
No.
That's why it's cold. I'm a dad. All right. Last one we're going to talk about. Infinity Countdown number 3 from Marvel Comics. This issue was awesome, I thought. I know you've been mixed on this event. This is actually the event leading up to the event. If anything, is a postscript on Jerry Dugan's run on Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's leading up to the big Infinity Wars event that comes very soon. There's two things going on in this issue. One, we pick up on the cliffhanger from last issue where Ultron had taken over Silver Surfer and was using him to fight Adam Warlock. Right. And then the other thing is the Guardians of the Galaxy have been fighting this nonstop battle against a horde of alien enemies to protect the Power Stone, which is enormous. It's basically the size of a small mountain or hill, and they don't know what to do because they can't get it out of here. I thought both halves of this story were fantastic, and I love the fact that they were a little more evenly spaced. We've talked about how
that was a big difference in this one, where it felt like we got to spend some time with both sides of the story.
To me, it finally felt like we're heading towards something. We've been getting the conclusion of this Guardians of the Galaxy story, which is fantastic. Aaron Cooter is on the art, and he's one of my favorite artists working right now, so it's great to see as much of him as possible. But the stuff with Ultron and the stuff with Guardians of the Galaxy was both great, but it felt like they're on this collision course now, which, I mean, I guess some sort of a, would you say, countdown?
I had a classic last page reveal, which was amazing. I won't spoil, but I will spoil Drax on sax, dude. That was amazing.
That is great. Drax saves the universe with a saxophone.
Yeah, it's the hilarious. Drax on sax was so just funny. Oh, so funny.
And there's one other thing. This is a little bit of a spoiler, but Nova's brother, Robbie, I think, tells him that they are living in a simulation, that something is wrong with the universe. Now, there's two things going on here that I'll throw out to you. One, I think this is a way of correcting and tweaking some of the stuff that happened since the end of Secret Wars. So I think we're going to get a little bit of a continuity reboot. The other thing, based on him saying we're in a simulation, everybody be like, oh, that's weird, we're in a simulation. I think Ultron already won.
Oh, that's what I think. Fuck you.
Yeah. I think everything that we're seeing right now, that's why we're getting these different timelines, because Ultron already took over the universe and stuck everybody in a simulation, Matrix style, and we're going to kick off Infinity Wars with that's the status quo for the Marvel Universe.
Wow.
That's my theory right now.
Huh.
I don't know. What do you think?
It seems pretty dark, man.
Yeah, it does seem pretty dark. Bleak. Did you like this issue?
I love this issue, and I haven't been liking it. So they did a great job of turning it around right before the start of the big event.
All right, there you go. A rare 7 pickup stack. It's going to be a rough week on your wallet. Also, for your wallet, if you would like to support the show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in the Pit Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll chat about comics or, you know, your life.
Yeah,
whatever you guys want to do. You know,
don't what think just because we host the comic book talk show that we only talk about comics.
I mean, I do.
You talk about shitty TV shows a lot.
I do talk about shitty TV shows a lot. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook if you want to know about the amazing guests we have coming up on our live show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, for the podcast and more. And we'll see you at the comic book shop.
All right.